And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Ronel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, here we go in 2019. And we are off on a Friday night to get you rolling here. And I love this intro. Daspit Law Firm. Absolutely love this intro. I think this is a Michael Carroll assemblage. Right, Harrison?
Likely so. He's the man.
Harrison producing tonight. A beautiful Manchester City. I'm thinking that's a David Silva shirt, but it says Silva. It could be Bernardo Silva after the performance he had.
Either one is great, but this one is a David.
Yeah, yeah. Bernardo Silva. What a performance. If anybody's a small in stature soccer player, don't ever let anybody tell you you can't play the game, because Bernardo Silva was unbelievable for Manchester City. And tonight we'll take your calls. 2-1 victory over Liverpool. Now only 4 points behind Jurgen Klopp and his club. Could have been 10. So a lot at stake in this match that took place I guess it was yesterday. What am I thinking here? I'm still a little bit on vacation, I guess. But what a night and what an afternoon game that was yesterday. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. Call-in number is 713-780-3776. It's a weird echo in this mic. I don't know what it is. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Soccer, Facebook Soccer Matters. Also, we'll do some behind the scenes at Instagram at Glenn Davis Soccer. Your opinion, though, is wanted. 713-780-3776. A Friday night. We thank the Daspit Law Firm for the presenting sponsorship. Advantage BMW Midtown, our buddies down there. Kings Court, Danish Inspirations, and Liberty Kitchen. Get out. It's going to be a good weekend to eat at Liberty Kitchen. Go shopping at Danish Inspirations. Or go buy a BMW at Advantage BMW. Lots of good things you can do this weekend. So Manchester City, a lot of talk in this one about the guts, the work rate, the desire, the performance, winning individual battles, and a warrior-like performance. You heard Vincent Kompany after the game talking about how this was one of the biggest wins he's been involved with at Manchester City. I mentioned Bernardo Silva and his performance. Fernandinho, also excellent. Bernardo Silva setting up the first goal. This guy worked like a whirling dervish in this game. So Manchester City gets it done at the Etihad, 2-1. First defeat of the year for Liverpool. Let's just talk about what a Premier League match this was. Look, I don't have a dog in the fight. I want a great race. That's what I want in the Premier League. I don't want to run away last year like Manchester City, who just blew everybody out of the water. What a treat for fans this game was. The level of competition when we watch these players, do we tangibly realize how good they are? But there was a desire and competitive spirit in this game that was off the charts, I thought. Intense match. Both teams made it difficult for each other. It came down in some ways to who took chances, who made plays. We had a goal line clearance, somewhat controversial. Saves going one way or another. Ederson coming up big with saves. By the way he got off his line against Sadio Mane definitely altered a shooter. And also, you know, you have to give him some credit for getting out and confronting a shooter there. Of course, Mane hits the post. I thought both teams made it incredibly difficult for each other to play in that game. And there weren't long phases where one team was dominating possession. It was really an up and down. It was described by the commentators as ebb and flow. Saves going one way or another, and the result could have been different. Goal line clearances. The margins, so thin. And we can all sit around here, whether you're a Liverpool fan or a Manchester City fan, you can do the what-ifs if you want right now. There's a lot of that goes on after these games. you know, when I hear Liverpool fans saying Manchester City was lucky, it's kind of silly. A lot of man-for-man pressing and desire was the difference for Manchester City. I think they did, to a degree, break the Liverpool rhythm. That said, they were still dangerous. They still could have won the game. It was hectic and chaotic, maybe, at times. There were unforced errors on the ball, which led to the up and down. And no one team really controlling the game for long periods. And Jurgen Klopp said, you know what? You can't dominate matches always. And that was straight from his mouth. Controversy over Vincent Kompany. Should he have been sent off? Let me know. 713-780-3776. Two-footed challenge on Mo Salah. It looked like there was some slight contact on the foot of Salah. By the way, you don't have to make contact to be sent off for the recklessness of a challenge. I think sometimes people forget that. Kompany's off the ground, 2 feet. You get sent off there, it could have been different. That is a what if. Contact or no contact. It was Guardiola against Klopp. It was stars littered everywhere. And our number to call, if you have an opinion on it, 713-780-3776. Vincent Kompany said after the game, we were not worried about the result. It was about the performance. Performance was beyond anything else I have witnessed. It came from the guts. The 12th man is something from within and something you can describe. We are a better team when we play with emotions. That's Vincent Kompany, who got the start. And there was some question as to him being a potential liability in this game. Kyle Walker didn't start. It was interesting what Guardiola did with his defenders. But Kompany's experience bled through against, you know, what is an incredibly athletic and mobile front three for Liverpool. Two goalkeepers who, without a doubt, the best in the world with their feet. Goalkeepers that have been recruited by both managers because of their ball-playing abilities with their feet, where their attack starts. Ederson made what likely was, you know, a three-point winning save on Mo Salah. 40th minute, Aguero knifing in front of Lovren at the near post. The perfect touch. He smashes it high. Let's run that audio of that 40th minute goal, Harrison, that got things started for Manchester City. Sergio Aguero, who at this point has not had a lot of the ball. They haven't been able to play into him too effectively. Hasn't done much. And then produces something brilliant.
Here comes the cross. Aguero goes to ground. It was a challenge by Virgil van Dijk, who won the header. Huge roar from the City fans behind the goal. Another cross comes in. Aguero's there! Aguero scores! From an almost impossible angle! 7 games in the Premier League against Liverpool at the Etihad, and he's scored in every single one of them! First blood to Manchester City, who need to win tonight in the title race! 5 minutes before the break,
Game's first goal, so important there. And by the way, it was Bernardo Silva who got the delivery in. And Aguero kind of came off the blind side of Lovren. I know Liverpool fans are crushing Lovren a little bit. 713-780-3776. They want Gomez back as soon as possible. 713-780-3776. Come on, Liverpool fan. You got to talk when it's not happening as well. Manchester City fan. Are there Manchester City fans in Houston, Harrison? Is there a supporters group?
I'm sure there is. I'm not a member, unfortunately.
If there's anybody out there that here in Houston can tell us that there's a Manchester City supporters group, we'd like to know. We do know there is the Houston Red Army on the Manchester United side, who, by the way, 4 wins in a row. Life is good again. It is fun watching Manchester United as Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has taken the shackles and the reins off. And, boy, that was one negative dark cloud. With Jose Mourinho there. My God. It was unbelievable to watch a guy so in ego that he felt almost he was bigger than the club, throwing players under the bus. It was remarkable.
A masterclass in self-sabotage.
Yeah. You got to wonder if he's outdated now when it comes to modern football now and dealing with kids that are, you know, making these ridiculous monies, putting their picture on Instagram and Facebook at every moment's notice, standing in front of a car with, you know, just some incredibly gorgeous woman or, you know, their new sneakers or whatever. But I don't think autocratic works anymore. Pretty remarkable. All right, let's go to 64th minute. The world-class ball from Trent Alexander. And Firmino's going to ultimately get the tap in here. But this diagonal ball was ridiculous. It was just dropped over the head of a defender.
Alexander-Arnold has spotted the run at the back post. Oh, it's the equalising goal! What a ball by Alexander-Arnold! It's teed up by Robertson, and it's put in by Firmino!
How good was Robertson? What a find he has been for Liverpool. Just so assured at left back. What a find he is. But that was a tying goal at 1-1. And it was a great way to start the second half, that coming in the 64th minute. But it takes only 8 minutes to get a game-winning goal. Let's play the game winner for Manchester City now.
Sterling in space. Found brilliantly, wasn't he? Leroy Sané, left foot! Oh, what a goal! Absolutely brilliant finish by Leroy Sané!
72nd minute for Sané. And I heard some people saying, well, Leroy Sané didn't have a very, very good game, which I disagree with vehemently. He actually did a lot of defensive work in this game, a lot of tracking back. Maybe that took away a little bit of the luster for him joining in. Doesn't matter. He got the game winner in the 72nd minute. It was a great run. Aguero went into the middle and took somebody with him. But actually, the Liverpool defender, and I think it was Trent Alexander, got across, and it looked like, you know, he got across in time to block this shot. And it's just weird. The ball just kind of broke away from his extended foot, and he even seemed a bit stunned that he didn't block it after it went in off the post. But what a win it was for Manchester City. The race is on. The target is on. Everyone at home, including, you know, all of us who watched it on television, you felt the intensity through the TV. You really did. Pep Guardiola said he went for experience at the back in deference to Mo Salah and what he can do. Fernandinho was outstanding. Aguero scoring that goal from an impossible angle. Difference maker, special player. I think the aggressive, again, pressing made it a little bit uncomfortable for Liverpool. But that said, things go a few different ways. A couple critical moments, they may have won the game. But this is what I love, the tactical game. Here we are, when we talk about Manchester City, we're talking about free-flowing soccer, all the beautiful things, the aesthetics, and what's the first things out of their mouths in this game was desire, competitiveness, winning one-on-one battles, all the things that you don't normally kind of go to right away when you're talking about Manchester City. So what a great game this was. How exciting it was to sit and watch this yesterday. And boy, I was at home going, man, I wish I was in that stadium. Christian Pulisic to Chelsea, $72 million. Getting a lot of people weighing in on this. He'll play out the rest of the year with Dortmund. Then he'll get a full preseason with Chelsea. I like the way that this is arranged. Now, $72 million. You got people now conditioning this. It's strictly commercial. We know that's not true. That's absolute nonsense. He's a very talented soccer player. This is exciting for the American fan. Why are people negative about this? And you know, let's celebrate this a little bit before we get into what potential pitfalls there are for a young, talented soccer player going to Chelsea. Every young, talented player going to Chelsea has challenges and pitfalls that are potentials. You hear a lot of people saying they don't like the move. Obviously, Chelsea wanted Christian Pulisic, and not just because he can move a few jerseys in the United States because the Premier League's on NBC. Because he's an excellent soccer player. And there's excellent potential there. $72 million is mind-blowing, yes. There's no doubt. But you know, how many years have we been talking here in the United States as soccer fans about when will we finally get that one player that, you know, gets his start on a big team, an outfield player, a technical player? We had it with Tim Howard with Manchester United, who, by the way, in his very first year there, won the Goalkeeper of the Year award. You know, Clint Dempsey at the end of his career went to Spurs. Nothing like this with Pulisic. The Howard thing was big boost to American soccer. I don't think we talk about that as much. maybe because we have a long line of great goalkeepers, Casey Keller, Brad Friedel, Marcus Hanneman, all these guys who went to Europe and produced and had wonderful, wonderful careers. But this is special. I don't understand why we're not celebrating and a little bit more excited about this. How do you feel about it? Is this the right club for you, for Christian Pulisic? And we do have the Bayou City Blues Chelsea guys here in town. I would love to hear from some of you guys on you getting the American talent, Christian Pulisic. We're going to take a break here. A lot more to come here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. First hour brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. John and his firm, bilingual. Whether you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial construction, plant, refinery, you might drive an 18-wheeler. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, will have you covered. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. You'll get the representation you need. They'll settle your nerves, and they'll attack your case 24/7. Get the compensation you deserve. DaspitLaw.com, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Thank you, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Let's take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's hit it for Kings Court. It's the place to be down in Edo. 903 Hutchins, it's right in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. It's home to a number of supporters groups, including El Bataillon, Houston Red Army, the Manchester United group, Chelsea Bayou City Blues, I believe, are still there. Kings Court, 13 monitors. Great place to watch games. Got some great soccer characters going in there to watch these games. Fun place to go. Rooftop deck is awesome. There's a great view of the stadium. It's where El Bataillon is before all the Dynamo games. British and Indian pub-style cuisine is a winner at Kings Court. They got great food. The staff, headed up by Giovanni. Great cocktails, great beer prices. KingsCourtHouston.com. Say hello to Jay and Megan. Wonderful place to go. Now, I had a conversation today with Matt Jordan, the Dynamo general manager. Now, we have interviews coming up later in the show. We're going to talk to Josh Gardner, played for the LA Galaxy under Ziggy Schmidt. We're going to get some testimony from him on Ziggy's passing. And again, this show is, you know, dedicated tonight to two people. One is Ziggy Schmidt for the absolute passion, genuine nature that and unbelievable success and influence that he has had on people. You can't even put it into words, quite frankly. The other is a very different thing. I have family in the Caribbean for many, many years. St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. My brother and his wife went down there very young, raised their kids there, built lives in the Caribbean, and had a great family called the Marshall family. And Bruce Marshall passed away recently to cancer. While I was down there on vacation, very tough, amazing guy, built some of the most beautiful homes in the Caribbean. His sons, great friends of all the siblings in my brother and sister-in-law's family. There's a big shout out tonight to Bruce Marshall, down in the U.S. Virgin Islands, who has also passed at the very young, mid 60 range. Due to cancer again, and you know how I feel about cancer. It's just tough to think about it. But Ziggy Schmidt and Bruce Marshall, the show is dedicated to tonight. All right, so today I had an opportunity to catch up with Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. We were going to bring him on the show, but he's traveling, obviously, down to the MLS Combine. That begins tomorrow, the Combine. And then there's a Super Draft coming up as well. So a lot going on in Major League Soccer. The MLS Super Draft now is becoming less relevant, as we know, with TAM and GAM and all the allocation money and things that are going on. So it's kind of interesting. You're not going to the combine to discover a player. You're going to the combine to just confirm, these are the words of Matt Jordan, decisions that you've made and some of the homework you've done on players. I think that's pretty safe to say. Every year when this combine occurs, it's kids who haven't been playing for three or four weeks. It's tough to expect. The days of seeing a Jeff Cameron there and you don't know a whole lot about him and Dominic Kinnear spotting him out and him turning into a Premier League player over. I don't know how much homework back in those days were being done by MLS teams. Maybe the college MLS super draft was more important. It's becoming less relevant. But let's talk about some of the things Matt Jordan and I spoke about. And I'm going to start with Kiki Struna. And the other thing is, I'll put this out here. This is our Facebook question, and I forgot to get to this. The soccer event I'm most looking forward to in 2019 is what? 713-780-3776. Facebook question. The soccer event I'm most looking forward to in 2019 is what? And you got a lot of them. You got Major League Soccer. You got the Women's World Cup. Got Gold Cup. Lots of things going on in the world of soccer. So Matt Jordan on the new center back, Kiki Struna. Now, he's 28 years old. Slovenian international, Palermo. Matt Jordan telling me he was the number one target out of a lot of targets for the center back position. And he said, this is the hardest position to fill. Technique, good one-on-one defender. Character, speaks English. Matt Jordan saying it was a grind to get this signing done. Then he was quoted as saying he will be one of the top center backs. Top players in the league. Now, what I liked was he talked about his leadership. So he said, great leadership, good in the air, good pace, good distributor, responsibility to be a leader. And then when he said vocal leader, that's what set my mind off. Vocal leader. I don't think the Dynamo had a vocal leader, especially with Cabezas out. I don't think they had that edgy guy. So let's Kiki Struna, I think, could be such an important piece here. I think he can influence Alejandro Fuenmayor, who needs somebody to help him sandpaper down some of the rough edges. A veteran guy from the Italian league working with Fuenmayor. That's a dream come true for Fuenmayor. I don't think there's any question. Then the leadership and the vocal side of it, I think, is important because the Dynamo didn't have that. I know the Dynamo have leaders by example. On the road, you need a vocal leader, and maybe that's part of the problem, not winning and getting results on the road. But this guy's an Eastern European. He is tough. He's got a personality, and we're going to see how it all is going to work out. Here's some sound from Kiki Struna.
I love to play. I don't want to shoot the ball, just like this. I think that for a defender, I have good technical skills. In defense, I know that I'm very aggressive, that I have a good speed for defender. I always want to challenge striker of the other team, and I have no fear.
I gotta love that. There's a bit of an edge to that soundbite. I like that. I like that. That's the soundbite of the year so far in 2019 when it comes to the Houston Dynamo. Right there. That sounds like a no-nonsense guy, and that's just the type of guy you need in a center-back position. And listen, that, all due respect to what Adolfo Machado and Leonardo did, and we got to be careful here, not in 2017. Now, I don't think Machado's coming back. Leonardo, it's possible he could come back. I don't know. The Dynamo still need to fill the center-back position and get some depth there. But those two guys were great in 2017, really good. But they were also older, and you knew they had a shelf life. So the Dynamo are filling in areas that, you know, when we went into last season, 2018, you know, the big signings were Darwin Serena and Artur Alvarez. The big signings this year are Kiki Struna and Matias Vera. Addressing the obvious areas that need to be addressed, trying to get the defensive balance into this team to complement what the Dynamo have as an attacking club. My assumption is we believe The intention, Matt Jordan said, is to keep the front three intact. They do get offers on them, including from the Serie A for Minotas, which you would expect. That's a champagne problem. That's a good thing. You want your players to be coveted by other teams. That means you're doing your job. It's a good thing. And Minotas' rise to one of the top strikers last year in Major League Soccer was wonderful. He's got to do it again. He's got to do it again. Yeah, we've seen him grow. I just think that's one of the great storylines of the Houston Dynamo, just seeing him grow as a goal scorer and going into the elite last year. No question. I do think the Dynamo are in desperate need of finding support, and maybe not like for like, but guys with pace that can come in for Elise and Kyoto, can spell them in a way that your playing style doesn't have to be altered so much. If in fact it still remains a lot dependent on the counterattack. Matias Vera, 23 years of age, the Argentine. Now, Argentines and Argentine managers have become the, the soup de jean. We're getting a lot of Argentine players, which I got no problem with. We've got coaches now, Matias Almeida in San Jose. Now got Guillermo Barros-Schelotto in Los Angeles. Argentine influence, or Argentine influence on Major League Soccer is big, from players to coaches. And we know how passionate Argentines are. It's all healthy. So the Dynamo get one in Matias Vera, 23 years of age. Matt Jordan said, look, he's going to complement the current midfield. He's a natural ball winner. Possibility you can play next to... That's a guy that can play next to Juan David Capaces. Matt Jordan saying a really tough kid, very good with the ball, switches the point of attack. Obviously is going to help with the balance. But one of those two guys, if they're both, traditional sixes, one of them's going to have to join in on occasion to help out Tomas Martinez. And you would hope can get in front of him sometimes to provide a threat. That's going to be very, very important. Jordan also, and they're saying it was about $1 million that was spent on Matias Vera. So that's investment. Those are the two big signings, though. And Matt Jordan was very happy about these two signings and very happy about what's happened in the offseason right now. He also talked about the goalkeeping position, saying it's a knockdown dragout between Joe Willis, Chris Seitz, and Tyler Derrick. Those are his words, Matt Jordan's. Knockdown dragout. Love that. He also said there are three buckets on this team. And this is some of the most compelling stuff Matt Jordan has said as to how this team is being built. Three buckets. Young foreign players with large upside. So that's Elise, Kyoto, Martinez, Vera, right? Players like that. Second bucket, Matt Jordan. Americans in their prime. He cited Chris Duval. Third is from within the own structure of the club, which that's a work in progress. Getting players from their own system. I then went on to ask him, when do you think we're going to get some payback from the academy? Said about 12 to 18 months, he thinks there's going to be some players that are ready for RGV, and then eventually they're going to be sprinkled in with the first team. Now, that's the real key, though. Not a lot of minutes for young players. Not a lot of minutes for young players. Academy players or for the Houston Dynamo. Memo Rodriguez comes to mind. So that's what you got there. The MLS Combine, you got to wonder, the Dynamo have the eighth pick. Who do they go with? Do they take a Griffin Dorsey? That's one of the reports we've heard from a Matt Doyle over at MLSsoccer.com. Of course, I saw Dorsey for Indiana in the national championships. I called out in Santa Barbara for ESPN. He's an under-20 international. Then they've got a third-round pick as well. Tougher and tougher for college players to make it happen. Talked about Adam Lundqvist and DeMarcus Beasley and the fight for that position. Wants to go too deep at every position. Now, too deep, we need real competition. You want too deep at every position, guys that could be starters. And he went on to talk to me about how, Lundqvist and Beasley have a great relationship. They're encouraging each other, which right away I then asked Matt I said, hey, that's great. I like that they're friends. I like that they're encouraging each other and have a professional relationship. I want to know, does Adam Lundqvist want to beat DeMarcus Beasley out for the left back position? And he said, absolutely. So there you go. Tommy McNamara still in negotiation. Could be another great addition to the midfield for the Dynamo. We'll take a break here. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. This will be an Advantage BMW Midtown break.
Restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Next passage of play. Ronaldo, there you go. That's 48 for the calendar year. Two more for 50. Cristiano Ronaldo. Of course he scores.
Well, Cristiano Ronaldo is La Liga's loss and the Serie A's gain, Juventus. And Ronaldo taking care of business in Syria. All right, so here's something that's going on in Florida. Obviously, the MLS Combine is down there, so you got all MLS brass going down there. Our question that we have put out here, the question is, the soccer event I'm most looking forward to in 2019. That's what I want to get from you at 713-780-3776. A couple of things here. Under 20 men's national team, is having the under-20s, the under-19s, and the under-17s are all getting together down in Florida as well. Out of Houston, Christian Kappas from Katy, Texas, is on the under-20 men's national team roster, who is over playing currently in Denmark. Then, interestingly enough, on the under-20 list is one Marcelo Palomino, and it lists him as unattached Frisco, Texas. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Matt Jordan, the Dynamo general manager, mentioned that there was a contract on the table to Marcelo Palomino. So we'll see what his future will hold. Some of the answers we have gotten to the Facebook question, the soccer event I'm most looking forward to in 2019 is, Gerardo says, Women's World Cup and men's under 20. Chris said Premier League race. Pedro said Dynamo with a stronger defense and a potent offense make these tickets worth my while. John said Champions League knockout stage. Another John said CONCACAF Champions League. You got to love that with the Dynamo involved in that. 713-780-3776. What's the most anticipated event for you in 2019? We got, not sure who this is, but they said U.S. women seriously challenged at the Women's World Cup. And then we get a couple of other Women's World Cup from Sarah and Luis. And by the way, in the second hour, we've got Hugh Menzies, who's made history with the Jamaican women's national team, first ever Caribbean nation to qualify for a World Cup. All right, let's go to the phone lines. And Dylan, what is your most anticipated event in 2019?
Hey, Glenn, happy new year to you and your staff, Soccer Matters. My anticipating, I will go with, we know, having a Texas City semi-pro team in Texas City.
Oh, tell me about it. What's the name of it?
It's Texas City United FC.
Are you involved
and
with it?
They're going to be involved with all the Texas City players, high school, college, give them opportunity to play in the semi-pro in the UPSL and probably go abroad and get scouted by some professional clubs on there, second division, first division, and et cetera.
One more time, what's the name of it? Do you have a website we can drive people to, Dylan?
Yes, Texas City United FC.
All right, there it is, Texas City United FC. Dylan, thank you. Happy New Year to you, and let's do it here in 2019. We love your passion.
Hey, Glenn, keep up the great job. And hey, go Dynamos. Hey, I love the signings. I like that they're mixing up in the midfield a little bit to help Kyoto and Elise and Martinez and Manotas. I really like that trying to strengthen up that part of the field. Hope we can go straight to the MLS Cup this year.
Struna and Vera, thank you very much, Dylan. We appreciate that phone call. Let's go to Vincent. Vincent, what are you anticipating in 2019?
Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Vincent.
I'm going to be at the Gold Cup final. I got my tickets already.
Oh, so you're anticipating the Gold Cup final, man. I like that.
Yeah, well, I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's in Chicago, so, you know. Yeah, and I just think that the U.S. needs to win, and then they need to feel, the coach needs to feel, Ernie Stewart and the coach need to feel the pressure to win this tournament so they could get the money for the Confederations Cup to help out soccer grow.
Yeah, that'll be the first big competition. So Greg Berhalter and company, right. He just named Josh Wolf an assistant coach. That's the right. one they're going to be targeting. By the way, the Grow 'em Tough in Milwaukee, I remember playing indoor soccer against the Milwaukee Wave there. I think it was, I'm trying to remember the name, it was an older arena. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. The Mecca. They
it was the Mecca. Mecca. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of snow on the ground, too.
Abdul-Jabbar played. Yeah. I probably saw you, Glenn, to be honest. I probably saw you. I was a kid. I went to those games all the time.
Well, you know what? There's my claim to fame. I played in the same building as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. How about that? Now, 2019's been good. What more is there left for me to do now? I can quit.
Hey, Glenn, I got one other question for you, too, real quick.
Fire it up, Vincent.
About the Dynamo.
Yes.
Okay, well, you know, Austin's coming, right?
Yep.
You know, that's kind of like a done deal, right?
Probably 2021, I would suspect.
Right. Okay, in 10 years from now, who's going to have the best youth academy or youth system? Is it going to be the Dynamo? Or is it going to be, you know, Austin or FC Dallas is running away with it right now?
Oh, it all depends on the investment. But for me, a lot of times, the investment is in the quality of the coaches. Look, what resources do you need? Like here in Houston, you got an incredible sports park.
Right.
All you need are soccer balls and great coaches. I don't care about all the travel and all that stuff. That they have to do because of – but. Investment in coaches, that's where it's at. You got facilities. Right. You got 6.5 million people proper here. Paul Holliker has been hired. He's been doing a very good job, I think. I think he's made it clear that he's going around the community building relationships with people. He's already reached out to a couple guys I know, Josh Gardner and Eric Quill, who are both former players in Major League Soccer that grew up here. So I think Paul is off to a great start. We're going to try to get him on the show next week. Vincent, thank you very much for the call, and a great 2019 to you.
Thanks. You got the best show. All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, Vincent. And the check is in the mail, Vincent. All right. So going to hit a break here. I want to line up what we have coming up here in the second hour. We have first off, an amazing women's soccer piece. Hugh Menzies is the coach of the Jamaicans women's national team. Penalty kicks they got to the Women's World Cup, which will take place this summer in France. It'll be on Fox. Amazing for a Caribbean nation like this to get there. Just a huge moment. This is an interview you're not going to want to miss. The Marley family, yes, Bob Marley, have been helping. One of the family members has been helping with support of the team, but some of these girls, the adversity they've gone through is pretty remarkable. So that'll be our first interview. Hugh Menzies of the Jamaican women's national team. Josh Gardner then will join in. He'll give some testimony on Ziggy Schmidt. We'll talk a little bit of youth soccer. Then we're going to finish it up. This is very timely with Christian Pulisic and that deal coming down at $72 million, a transfer fee from Dortmund to Chelsea. His management team, Rob Moore, on target. I did an interview with him a couple months back. It was a very scintillating, very interesting interview. We're going to run a large portion of that interview just in the context of what has happened here with Christian Pulisic going to Chelsea. All right, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Our thanks to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor, DaspitLaw.com, Advantage BMW Midtown, Liberty Kitchen, Danish Inspirations. We thank you for your support of this show. Let's take a break. More to come. A big second hour in store.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
When I walked on the field, as I said to Schmetz, I said, this is what heaven must be like. You know, in my imagination of heaven, this is it. Packed house, beating Portland by three, you know, fans going crazy. It can't get better than that.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, a quick word here from my friends down at Advantage BMW in Midtown. I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've owned from Advantage BMW numerous times. We all love the drive of a BMW. After all, it's the ultimate driving machine. But the other thing I love is the customer service down at Advantage BMW Midtown. Second to none. If you're looking to buy or lease a BMW, Advantage BMW Midtown is the place to go. They cover you with sales, service, finance. It can be done really, really easy. You'll get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. And by the way, the guys down there, Philip Southwick, Justin McGahey, Sergio Martinez, these guys love soccer. You go in there, you mention soccer, they love it. We've done some live shows down there, and we're very proud that they are sponsors here of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. So Advantage BMW Midtown is helping keep the game on the airwaves. All right, so amazing moment here now. Hugh Menzies joins me now. He is the coach of the Jamaicans women's national team that is qualified for next summer's Women's World Cup. They did it in dramatic fashion up in Frisco. He joins us now. Hugh, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Glenn.
Yeah, these are great moments. You know, as you and I were talking before you came on here, you know, I've seen the amount of work and devotion and passion you've put in to the sport of soccer your entire career. So I was so excited when I saw you as the head coach of Jamaica qualify them for the World Cup. First, before we get into what effects it has had on Jamaican women's football in the country, what did that personally sort of mean to you and that group of ladies?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, we were stunned ourselves. And, you know, to be fair, you know, the girls was probably more stronger than the staff after everything went down. I mean, we were ecstatic. We knew how much work we've put in, and everything has come to fruition. And you know, we're trying to pinch ourselves to know that this is really real. But you're right. We put a lot of time and effort, and all thanks goes out to our staff, Lauren Donaldson, you know, that have put in umpteen's amount of effort to get us to this point. And, you know, and everybody else associated, the Federation, and, you know, obviously Cedella Marley is our big sponsor, and another company called Alacran has really stepped up to help us get to this point.
So let me go back to the 1-0 Group B win over Costa Rica, and that was the kind of do-or-die game there in order to make this all come to fruition and get you to a World Cup. Tell me a little bit about that game, what that game meant to you, and why, in your words, it kind of took you over a threshold of confidence.
Well, you know, we went into the competition knowing that we needed to win five games to get to the World Cup. So we planned ourselves, you know, from the first round of the competition, and then moving on to the next round. We knew that, you know, going up against the U.S. was going to be a tough task. So we kind of hold back on some of our players. And then, you know, we felt like we had an opportunity to go against Panama, who you know, was on the same track as we are of upsetting people and so forth. But we felt like we were a little bit more athletic. And then we thought we could have more of the game against them and go at them a little bit more. And, you know, we did it. You know, we did it going into the game. The game plan worked to perfection. We did give up a late goal for them to tie the game. And then, you know, obviously we went into penalty shootout. And, you know, we practiced it all through the week knowing that this is a situation that's going to happen. And obviously we didn't miss a penalty kick. And we did a change in our goalkeeper right before the game was over and put in our shot stopper. And everything just worked out for us, and that credit goes out to the females.
One of the big discussions, and we're talking to Jamaican women's national team coach, they have qualified and are going to the World Cup in France next summer, Hugh Menzies. One of the things you've spoken a lot about are these kids and the amount of adversity in Jamaica that they have gone through. And you know, that's obviously something that is advantageous
in competition. Can you speak a little bit more to that about some of the makeup of your players?
And you're right. I mean, you know, we had Khadija Shah, who just won the Guardian Award. I mean, the Guardian Award is an international award that, you know, Juan Mata won it last year. She just won it. And if you do a little bit of research on Khadija Shah, the adversity that she's been through as a kid, I mean, I just can't believe the kid's here. You know, and bringing that to the football arena, I mean, this is like cupcakes to her, you know, asking her to go out and compete and go out there and execute for us, for the country. But, you know, the adversity has taken us through a lot of things. You know, we went through adversity just being in the qualifying, and we use it to an advantage for us, because the players that we have, that's how they live their lives, you know, in Jamaica. And coming to that stage was just an opportunity for them to just shine.
Hugh Menzies joining us here, coach of the Jamaican women's national team, first Caribbean country to qualify for the FIFA Women's World Cup. It'll be in Paris and in France next summer. When you get a group like this, and in some ways they're raw, but they have all these wonderful qualities. What was the first thing as a manager you had to do working with this group and kind of putting this together?
Well, the first thing, we knew that physically we're superior than most people. You know, the Jamaican nation is just blessed with talent as far as athleticism. We knew that wasn't, but however, we had to be physically fit to play 90 minutes. And that was a big, big question. We went out and hired Will Hitzelberger, our fitness coach, who I think, bar none, is one of the best in the country. And we brought him in and just to educate these players on nutrition and just taking care of themselves with the national team and also away from the national team. So the education process of that was what gave us an opportunity to really let them understand that, you know, we can do this if you just go out and do the extra things that we're telling you to do and just live your life a little different. And you know, they responded to that. And being in an environment where there's college environments and they're learning, you know, how to take care of themselves, it just added to everything. So, you know, the girls take full responsibility for this, and obviously Will coming in has really tremendously helped us through that. And that was the first thing we had to just get them to believe in that. And we went through that whole qualifying process since we started in Haiti with one injury to the group. So that part was one thing. And then obviously being on the stage, you know, hey, we're a small country, but, you know, in Jamaica we say we're liquor, but we're talawa. And it's just something that we believed in, and that was our theme and motto. Just go in. It doesn't matter what country are in front of us, we're just going to take care of business.
Let's go back to Khadija Shah, because, you know, part of her story is she's lost brothers to violence, one to a car accident. She won, as you mentioned, the Guardian Footballer of the Year Award because of some of these amazing things she's overcome. She seems like an incredibly humble young lady. She's a leading goal scorer. But she's at the University of Tennessee, so do you get to see her play a lot there? I mean, are you able to monitor her?
Thanks to technology, we get an opportunity to go out and watch video of her. You know, we knew her development. You know, she played with us in our WPSL year, so she ended up training with us in the summer. So we're very much in tune with what goes on with every player. We have players overseas in Europe and so forth. So we stay on top of things, and we see the development in their environment. And, you know, it kind of helps us to say, hey, this is the route we need to continue going, taking to help develop our country by using the resources we have here and overseas.
Hugh Menzies is joining us, Jamaican women's national team coach. All right, so this historic success, now does this enable you to lobby and try and get more resources for the Jamaican national team? Like, what are some of the things that have come out of this amazing qualification? I mean, it's putting Jamaica on the world women's football map here. What comes out of it?
To be honest with you, Glenn, this is bigger than football for our country. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're trying to change the mindset of how they perceive female athletes playing football. That was one of the biggest reasons why I took on this task when Sidella Marley asked me to do it. We wanted to change the culture of how people perceive us. So what it has done so far, the government had a four-day celebration for us back in December. And within that four-day celebration, we got the keys to several cities. The sponsorship starts popping up. We had a massive fundraiser event that brought out 800 people with all the dignitaries and the people that really run our country. The Prime Minister have offered to help. The Minister of Sports have been unbelievable, Olivia Grange, on helping us get to where we are. And then also making them understand that preparing for this World Cup is even more, much more of a task. And we do need the support, whether it's financially or just spiritually. And we're on track of getting that right now. Obviously, FIFA is going to give us some help there financially. But you know, things are rolling right now. And I think the country is understanding the magnitude of what we've accomplished.
Yeah, it is a remarkable thing that you've pulled off. When you talk about the build-up now to next summer, where are the matches being played? I mean, obviously you got the plan in place. How much will you get together?
We've started our we're going to have a camp locally in Jamaica just to evaluate the pool of players. Then after that, we're going to have a set of games with Chile and Jamaica in February, and then we'll come to the States in April, and then and play a match there, and then May we start head towards France by having a send off game in Jamaica, and then we go to London, and then we go to France. So we have a plan in place, and we feel it's a good plan. We try to find teams that are pretty comparable in our bracket, which is a fairly tough bracket, but we're willing and able to get after it and prove to the world that we do belong.
Group C is where Jamaica will be with Brazil, Italy, and Australia. So a very, very tough group. I want to go back to Lorne Donaldson because we all know how influential, along with you, he has been in the women's game. And how important is he to this whole setup in combination with you?
Yeah, well, you know, to be honest, you know, as a kid growing up, we grew up in the same community, and Lorne was my idol, you know, as a kid growing up. So getting an opportunity to do this with him was just ecstatic for me personally, and him also. You know, he's made massive contribution not only to Jamaica but to the U.S. of the players that he's developed to build the U.S. program. And having him alongside us and going through the grind of getting us to this point, I can't ask for any better person to be able to be in an arena with that guy, because he just understands the concept of the game and the individual, and he's a true teacher of the game.
Hugh, when that final whistle blew and you won on penalties, what ran through your mind?
You know, I actually couldn't see the penalty kick because the cameraman was right in front of me. All I knew that Hubert Busby just jumped all over me, and I almost broke my back. But you know, so I really didn't think anything at the time. Like Busby, get off me, you know. But you know what? I tell you what, man, that whole relief just came down, and just felt like, you know, I was in a trance, and I just can't explain it right now. But, you know, I'm sure you've been there as a player and so forth. But, you know, as a coach, it's just a little different because there's so much adversity these kids have gone through to get to this point, and I'm so happy for them.
Well, you can tell your heart goes out to your players. Listen, this is an incredibly significant moment. Congratulations to you, Hugh. Thank you for coming on the show. I'm sorry it took so long to get you on it, but I'm glad we did, because I think your story...
I'm glad anything for you.
But your story and how I know you and how much commitment you have given to the game, and then to see you know, this piece with you in Jamaica, I for me, it's remarkable. It's a heartfelt thing to see someone like yourself be such a huge part of this and do something that affects so many people. And that does not happen to many people. So congratulations to you.
And I want to give a shout out to Sidella Marley and the Alacran Foundation for really, really stepping up, because a lot of people kind of walked away from this whole project, and they stepped up to the forefront and was right there with us from toe to toe, and they're still there with us. And so a lot of shout out goes to them.
You got it. Listen, the Marley family, huh? You got to love it in soccer as well, right?
Laughing up yourself.
I think I know what music's playing in that Jamaican locker room before and after games. I think I have an idea.
Yeah, you do.
Hugh, thank you so much. What a wonderful achievement for you in Jamaica, and best of luck this summer in the World Cup and in your preparations before it.
Okay, thank you, Glenn. I appreciate it.
All right, that's the one and only Hugh Menzies. Wow, what a story that is. You're just sitting here thinking about that and these young ladies and these men who come and put this team together, and they become the first ever Caribbean nation to qualify for a Women's World Cup. And then you think about all the things that can happen now, the awareness that has been created for women in sport in Jamaica. It's truly exciting. All right, we'll take a break here. Again, we remind you, our presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. Again, it's 713-322-HURT. They will have you covered no matter what type of accident you get in. They'll work 24/7 nights and weekends for you. So get that representation. Get it with John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. And I remind you again, Kings Court is the place to be. 903 Hutchins, shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium, 13 monitors, all kinds of supporters groups down there, Chelsea, Manchester United, you name it. Rooftop deck, spectacular. Great view of BBVA Compass Stadium. British and Indian pub food, also a huge winner there. Jay and Megan run the place. Fantastic. Behind the bar, Giovanni. He's a huge soccer fan as well. Great food, staff, selection. Get in there. It is in Edo. It is a soccer-watching pub. It is Kings Court. We'll take a break.